Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Maroki is a Kenyan, New Zealand soul pop musician, singer, and songwriter who's currently based in Berlin. With a string of super chill bangers under his belt, including the platinum hit Wavy, he's delivering on the promise that saw his self-released debut picked up by Bernay and played by Elton John on his Rocket Hour radio show back in 2020. Signing to Bernay's Olive Records label, Maroki released the Dawn EP in 2021, which included the notable Wavy, a song that hovered around the top of the charts on Spotify, radio, and Shazam on both sides of the Tasman. Maroki's second EP came in 2022. Heading East featured the dance floor heater Find Me and another tasty selection of roots pop. He headed out on two tours to Australia, performances in LA and Berlin, two more national tours of Aotearoa, and numerous festival appearances. After his international travels, 2023 saw him release the single Sweet Lime and watching movies. He returned to Australia to play another tour and then prepared for his next release, the Time Zones EP. Time Zones featured a new collaboration with Bernay, the Infectious Love Cocoon. Collaborations as diverse as Nasea, Floydus, Leisure, and Bernay show that Maroki can lend his natural vocal flow to any number of styles. On stage and record, Maroki is emerging as a shining talent, bringing a growing audience to his soulful sound. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Maroki.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. And I am currently in Auckland in New Zealand. Yeah, just about to fly back to Berlin, actually.
So are you based in New Zealand or in Berlin?
I'm based in Berlin at the moment. Yes.
Okay. How did you choose the stage name Maroki? Obviously, that's your first name, but what was the decision? Okay, just that name will be my stage name.
I think you're out of general ease, to be fair. Like, I was kind of toying around with some names, and I think it was actually a mate of an old bandmate I used to play in a band with. You know, he was like, oh, why don't you just use your name? And I was like, yeah, that's actually a great idea. I might just do that. Saves me trying to, I don't know, go around in circles trying to figure out something cool. So, yeah, I just used my name.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this music world, and what was the journey from there?
I think, like, I started playing guitar and stuff from quite a young age, from about maybe 8 years old, and then I think, yeah, I got obsessed with it, you know, from really young, and I always thought I was going to be a guitarist, you know, I was like, oh, I'm just going to be like Tommy Emmanuel or something. I was really inspired by that guy. But it wasn't until I was about 14 years old, I discovered the world of recording with GarageBand, and I started recording some songs, and I was like, oh man, this is how they do it. And kind of from that point on, I've just like dedicated like everything to just continue doing that. Yeah, I love it.
Diving into discovering GarageBand and then deciding to be professional, what aspects of the professional music career surprised you that you did not realize would be part of the process, which actually is?
Ah, that's a really good question. What surprised me? I don't know. I didn't get too surprised by much. Maybe the unknownness surprised me. Like, there's this kind of thing that we have where I didn't really know what I was doing, and I thought at some stage I would know what I'm doing. And I've kind of come to the conclusion that you never really know what you're doing. Yeah, like specifically with like songs, like there's no right or wrong way to do something. How things connect with people is completely out of your control to, you know, a certain degree. And yeah, I think that's what has surprised me the most, I'd say.
When a song hits and the people respond to it in a certain way, in every situation and every experience in life, there's that whole comparison or comparative of things. How have you dealt with the situation of this song was a hit. Now we need to recreate that pattern so that the next songs will hit the same way that those songs have.
Yeah, that's a dangerous hole I've gone into in the past. And I had one song, Wavy, that did really well here, like in New Zealand, in Australia. And I was quite young when that all happened. Like, you know, I was 19, I think, and that went, I think it went platinum then. And, you know, that was quite, it kind of spun me out when I went to go and make music again. And I think it was partly because, you know, you've got the pressure of, you know, I don't know, it's this kind of inner pressure feeling like you need to prove yourself. Yeah, now I don't think about that at all. I ended up making a bunch of music that I really wasn't happy with at the time, you know, and like look back on that, like even some of the songs I've released, I'm going, oh man, but I'm still happy they're out, you know, because it's kind of like a time capsule of like where I was at that point in time. But I just try not to worry about it. I just make something that sounds cool, and if I'm into it, you know, that's kind of what matters to me. And I think people listening to the music will appreciate if it's honest and to the artist.
Yeah. How do you create a song?
For this project, like, you know, for my solo project, I work a lot with another producer called Jason Shushkov. We do a lot of jamming, so kind of sit down in a room, usually get a little drum loop or something going, and then I just play, you know, just play some guitar. I'm a guitarist, so I play a lot of, fool around with some chords, get a little bit of a vibe going, lay down some bass, and then I just do a whole lot of gibberish, you know, and just get melodies and, you know, syllables and a kind of just a bit of a vibe of what the vocal could sound like, and then kind of write to that. And yeah, that's kind of my process. It does change. It's not the only way, but that's the most common situation.
Now, you referenced this latest project. Tell us about it. What inspired it? Tell us all.
Amber Skies. Yeah. Well, yeah, I've been working on it for probably the last 3 years. Some of the songs, well, intensively over the last kind of year. And I had picked up all these songs from the Dropbox, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, I like them. And I feel like it's time to finish these off with Jason. And, you know, and then so we kind of started chipping away. I think maybe I had like five tracks there already. And then, yeah, did another 7 or 8 or wrote a bunch more demos and kind of started compiling things together. But yeah, it's pretty just summary. I didn't try and put any pressure into it. I kind of just had like a bunch of stories with in the songs. You know, there's one about like a Moroccan taxi driver, you know, crazy guy who was flying down the highway. And then there's some classic nice love songs, you know, just nothing really too overthought. I think that was the big thing with this record. It was like, as long as you can play it live and it's quite simple and it's just not overthought, you know, I just wanted to really make it a as chill kind of process as possible, which was nice. It was good to make.
What do you love about performing live?
I just like playing, yeah. Playing with my band, jamming. I love the energy in the crowd. You know, I like singing. I like it when people are singing the songs together, having a good time dancing, you know, just getting into it. But yeah, that's kind of what I do it for, right? Like you go and write all these songs in the studio, and it's like the cherry on top when you get it to go out and play them. And people can enjoy them, you know. I think music's for sharing, so that's the perfect place to share it.
So I'm that guy who's right up in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two videos, one or two photos. I put it away. I notice these days a lot of people are videoing and posting and doing a lot with the phone. So from your perspective on the stage, potentially seeing a bunch of phones, you reference that energy exchange, you reference the dancing. Does it bother you that a whole bunch of people might just be posting and busy on their phones, or it's just where society is at the stage?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I guess it would be annoying if I have somebody just like on their phone, gawking at the phone right at the front the whole time, but it doesn't bother me too much. I feel like at least my crowd, a lot of the crowds I'm playing to, are just, they don't have their phones out as much as I maybe other artists. So I'm not too sure. Like, yeah, it's never, I don't think about it enough. So yeah, I don't think it bothers me too much, you know? Yeah. I think it does bother me when I watch an artist and there's only phones, you know, because I think it depends on the artist a lot of the time as well. Like if you, some artists attract maybe a younger crowd, or and it's a bit more of a pop culture moment or something, and they've, you know, phones are much more out than that. But others might be just like electronic music, and it's a club, and there's no phones there. I don't know. Maybe I'm somewhere just in the middle that I haven't noticed it to really be annoyed by it.
Obviously, you bring the same energy and intention. What's the difference for you, though, performing sort of your own headline acts, opening for other artists, and performing at festivals?
Well, I think opening for another artist is always a bit of a, you know, the crowd isn't there to see you, but you can take that opportunity to just like, you know, connect with a new audience, and that's always cool. It's a bit of hit or miss, you know, but it's still playing. I just enjoy playing, man. Like, you know, getting the opportunity to just be able to play is like, it's great. And my favorite is like my own headline shows, because people there, they sing the songs. You know, I was just in Australia, and that was like, you know, I did my first sold out Melbourne show, and that was like pretty special with everybody singing the words and stuff. And, you know, that energy is pretty cool. But and then festivals is a whole new thing as well. Like I really enjoy hanging out with all the other acts and stuff, you know, with like-minded musicians backstage is pretty cool. And then like, well, not all the time, but usually there's like bigger crowds. So, you know, sometimes you get a bit like a big crowd, and they might be a new audience, but they're just there for a good time. You know, festivals are great. Yeah, I just love it all, man.
Okay, so I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work. I love the journey of the choice, the booklet, the unpacking, listening to song from one to whatever number. I'm unsure if you are or not aware, a massive uptick of physical around the world, Europe, UK, America. I was reading an article in Variety magazine, or Digital Variety, that last year in the US, $1.04 billion spent on vinyl, bigger since 1983. A couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, bigger since 1993. Last year, also in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. There needs to be a high number of exchanges happening daily for them to monitor it, a specific product, and they monitor it for tax purposes. Because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now in the basket. And the research of all of this is that it's showing that it's the teenagers diving into this world, not the older, nostalgic people. Then we have Spotify and the DSPs that people listen to music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I just think people are kind of wanting more physical and real and live music. Yeah, it just, you know, we're in a pretty strange era with the whole new AI stuff coming out, and you know, the streaming stuff is, I don't know, it's pretty crazy. So nothing really beats like opening fresh vinyl, or like, you know, a CDs maybe. Like CDs were around when I had CDs when I was young, you know, so like they're more nostalgic. But vinyl for me, you know, I love it. I was kind of surprised that it genuinely does sound better. I was always a bit like, nah, you know, how different can it really sound, you know? Yeah. But then I made this album, and I've been listening to it from the beginning, you know, I made the thing. And then you listen to it at the master, MP3s, and then I heard it for the first time on vinyl, and I was like, oh, I actually do notice the difference. Yeah, like there's definitely a sound that you can't replicate in the same way from listening from vinyl. So I don't know, I just think people want more honest, potentially more live music, want to go to more gigs in this day and age, you know, just a bit more human feel. Yeah.
So I know it's all very secretive in your guys' world, so what can you tell us is coming up over the next period of time?
Well, I've got a London show coming up. It's my first headline London show. I've just been in the studio for about 3-4 weeks. So loads of new music is in my Dropbox currently. So maybe that'll make it out at some point soon. And yeah, man, just going to be playing as much as I can, I think, particularly over in Europe and the UK. Same old, man, same old.
So I love this next game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 years, 2 hours, I recognize and I understand your answer will be different every time. Very important. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind.
Top of mind. All right.
Once you finish this conversation, if you want to listen to five other artists, past or present, group soloists, releasing, not releasing, just like I say, top of mind, who would those five artists be?
Bob Marley, maybe Michael Jackson, Daniel Caesar, Eric Badu, D'Angelo.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
Have a lovely day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.